Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truthful Tuesdays right here on Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. I am Sandy Rogers, and it is my honor to serve as your host tonight on this Tuesday. You guys, you know, man, Tuesday nights are like Christmas to me because I have the world's best guests that come with their full expertise and their passion for the work that they do in the world. And I get so excited to hear them as they share with you. And tonight, trust me, is no exception. But before we get to the show, you know, there's a couple of things that we always do to be in preparation. So the first thing that we do here on Tuesday nights is we give thanks to our ancestors. To all of our ancestors for being with us always, but especially on Tuesdays, as we discuss issues that people don't ordinarily talk about in an open setting. So they may whisper in a corner or lower their voice and, you know, peeking all around to see who may be overhearing them. But we bring all of this to light here on Tuesday nights. And so we know that we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors for strength, for courage, tenacity, for boldness, and for having this voice. And we're not afraid to use our voice. So ancestors, we trust you. We trust that you got our backs, our fronts, and our tops and our bottoms as we move forward in this world. And we just want to say thank you. We love you, and we appreciate you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Ashe. And next, we anchor ourselves in what I like to call affirmative reading. It's actually a daily affirmation that I've written. And you can find these at revsandy.com if you're interested. And you can have it delivered to your inbox on your email every day without you having to do another thing other than just sign up for it. So I'm going to read the message that says, celebrate goodness. Let us celebrate all that is good and very good. Let us keep our attention on the vastness of the Almighty. Goodness is everywhere present. There is goodness in life and living. There is goodness in creation and recreation. There is goodness in death. There is goodness all around us every day. Goodness is often not thought of when we talk about death or transitions, but there is beauty and goodness in that person's life. A wise elder once told me that as long as we call and say the person's name, they are never dead. So I talk fondly of all the wonderful souls that have blessed me with their presence for however long it was. And when I catch myself doing something that reminds me of that person, I remark to them how much I miss their physical presence, but love that they are in my heart forever. Spirit never dies. Goodness is all around us. We may need to do an adjustment on how we perceive something, but the fact remains it is all good all the time. So today, celebrate all the goodness in your life. Be thankful. Be mindful of your many blessings. You are goodness in human form. And again, that's at RevSandy.wordpress.com. So it's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. Our show tonight is called Honoring Our Greatest Teacher, Our Mother. And our guest is none other than my niece, Lauren Morton. And she's going to tell us about this legacy that she's building to honor her mother. We're going to do that shortly. So, audience, you know you're always welcome to come and be a part of our live discussion if you so choose. Our call-in number is 516-531-9819. And to speak live on air with us, you would simply press 1 to alert us that you want to speak live with us. Otherwise, just enjoy the conversation because I know it's going to be lively tonight. And some of our regular listeners do not stay up this late at night. So they listen to it on the next day. Phones are extremely sensitive on this system. So if you're not speaking once you have come on and made a statement, if you would just mute your phone, then that way that would ensure the best playback quality possible. So I appreciate that. And again, you can listen to any of our previous shows at www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers. That's SandyRodgers. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to take us a quick music break, and then when we come back, I'm bringing my niece on, Miss Lauren Morton, and she's going to let us know all about what she's doing in this world. And we're so thankful. We're so thankful. We'll be right back.
It's like you're looking through a telescope. You see where you're going to be.
got Mary Mary with Go Get It. And that's the energy with what Lauren and her sisters are doing with this organization. So welcome back. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. And before I get too ahead of myself, because I tell you, I'm really so anxious. And when I read Lauren's resume or a little intro, you're going to understand why I'm so geeked up about bringing this young lady on the air with us. So tonight's show is called Be at Peace, A Legacy of Love with Lauren Morton. So she was raised by a very strong and powerful mother, Deborah Ann Hardy. Lauren was filled with possibility thinking from a very early age. Ms. Hardy also instilled within her daughters through creative consciousness of God and that of living in a higher state of selfhood. To honor this phenomenal mother, her daughters, led by Lauren, have created Be at Peace Incorporated. The focus of this organization is the upliftment of women, particularly women of color. Be at Peace has four areas of primary concern as in and is rooted in Ignatian spirituality. So we're going to have Lauren explain this to us, and we're going to be empowered by the legacy of this wonderful individual, Deborah Ann Hardy. And I tell you, I'm just so impressed. You know, when you meet someone and they're so powerful and they walk around just so non-assuming, you know, like they're not trying to draw to themselves. They're just taking care of whatever business is at hand for them. And that's how Lauren is. And so she's always professional. She's always doing what it is that she's doing at the time, you know, what her job responsibilities are. And she does it with such a high class of professionalism. And so check this out, though, you guys. I pulled up her website, and I love this tagline. She says, "Who am I? A multi-comma woman, where everything behind the comma brings me joy." I love that. Just absolutely love it. But here's a little bit more about her until you can get to her website. With a master's degree in health administration and a resume brimming with leadership roles, Lauren Morton knows all about the bravery and strength expected of Black women. As it turns out, though, the bravest thing she's done so far is to leave her successful career path to start a new one. After graduating from Emory and earning her master's from the George Washington University, Morton began a career in hospital management and worked her way up through a series of leadership positions at Tenet Healthcare. Despite her success in the field, Morton's faith and fond memories of Emory steered her toward more intimate grassroots community work. In her current role, she works to provide educational programming for people interested in personal growth and wellness. She has a deep appreciation for the arts, using visits to the Hyde Museum and the Museum of Design Atlanta to decompress, and always makes a point to stop at local museums or art galleries whenever she's traveling. So let me welcome to the mic stage. Let me introduce you all to Miss Lauren Morton. And I am so thrilled that you have taken time out of your extensive, steady, busy schedule to be with us. Thank you, darling. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you all. Thank you for having me, Auntie Sandy.
Yes, ma'am.
We're so glad to be here and so glad to join on the show and so grateful and appreciative of you sharing and wanting to hear our story, and so allowing us to share our story with everyone who's listening. So just to level set for everyone who's listening to us this evening and tomorrow, you will hear us use the word a lot, we and us. And when I use the word we and us, I am talking about the we is God, our mother, my siblings, and our mother, grandmother, and the women who have gone before us who are leading and guiding us while we remain here on earth so that we continue to carry their legacies forward. So when you hear the word we and us, and people might say, who is we? Who is us? This is who the we and the us is for our conversation this evening.
So, well, thank you for explaining that.
Yes. So be at peace. We started, I'll remember the day like it was yesterday, August 4th, 2018. It was a day that will forever live my sisters and I as we watched and experienced our mother have a nervous breakdown. And I say that and I share that because most often in our community, and particularly in communities of color, it's not something that we really talk about. And I think for us especially, it was something that had not really came as a shock and a surprise to us. And we were unaware because our mother was always so strong, and we had no idea. And very similar to the story of many of us in our families and in our own journeys, I got to put on a face and hold it together because there's so much other work to do.
Mm-hmm.
So a month later, our mother passed away, it was quite unexpected and surprising. And someone would have told me at the beginning of that year, or told us really at the beginning of the year in 2018, that our mother would not be with us at the end of that year, we wouldn't have believed you. So after that, my sisters and I, we really sat down and thought, how do we carry her journey forward, the lessons that she has shared and poured into us, as women, as young women, as young black women in this world, and to navigate this world, how do we carry that legacy forward? And so what we really thought about is one thing that she spoke to us about very often in her life, and really even that year before everything happened, was that if women, especially women of color, knew that they weren't alone on their journey, we would be so much better. We would be so much better if we knew that we weren't walking this journey alone. And so my sisters and I, really thought of how we could carry this forward, and hence we created the organization Be at Peace. The name of Be at Peace came from we have a wonderful, beautiful family friend who said when we were thinking about how we were going to name the organization, she said, we can't forget about Deborah. This is about Deborah. This is about Deborah. And so call it divine, and the feeling of it, the name Deborah means be in Hebrew. And so as we started to think about what does the bee symbolize? The bee symbolizes community, brightness, and personal power. And one of the things that our mother exhibited was community building, was around peace, around brightness, and how we can journey together as people. When my mother walked into a room, she lit up a room. And you often saw her light before she opened her mouth, and she knew and took a keen interest in people and who they were and what their journey was. She didn't meet a stranger, and she loved them like family. So wanted to, again, be at peace, meaning that with that name, B from Deborah, and her middle name is Anne, around grace and favor. And so much of that, again, is with that grace and favor, having that ability as we walk in that to walk in peace and walk in our journey, in a peaceful journey. Very similar to that is how you got to have peace within yourself. My mother always spoke to my sisters and I about how you have to learn to love yourself, to be at peace with yourself, to look in the mirror every day and be comfortable with who you are. As a woman, but then most importantly, if you walk in peace every day, your journey and your walk becomes a little bit lighter. So we created this organization, Be at Peace, again, to continue that on. As you mentioned, we have four areas of focus around Be at Peace, and the first area is a progressive series of silent retreats. Now, these retreats, now you might ask, and for purposes, particularly of this call and our time together, I want to talk a little bit about these silent retreats. We, as think of your journeys, your walks, how the minute you walk in the door, someone needs something from you, whether you walk in, whether it's work, whether it's your business, whether it's your home, whether it's your family. And so someone's always needing something from you. But where is that time that you have to sit and be with your thoughts? Just need a minute. I just need a minute. I just need to be quiet, to be still. And so the idea of these retreats rooted in Ignatian spirituality, there are so many contemplative practices and spaces where people have the opportunity to experience silence and to walk in silence. This is what these retreats are. In the middle of the pandemic, last November, we had our first retreat. 22 black women. Many would say, you're crazy, it's not going to happen. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Who knows what's going to happen? And that room was filled with 22 black women who didn't know one another, who for 24 hours they didn't have to navigate sibling and children debates. They didn't have to give a bath to anyone. They didn't have to think about who was going to eat for dinner, what if people were going to eat for dinner. They could be with themselves. They could sleep. They could eat something. Everything was taken care of for them. And then they had an opportunity to write, to journal, to sleep, to shower, to do whatever it is that they needed to do, to go on walks and to experience that. So we had our first one in November. We just recently had our second one in Memorial Day weekend. The reason why we're doing them over long weekends, especially, is that we're doing them from now forward on Memorial Day weekend and the weekend of after Thanksgiving. And the reason why we're doing that, for us, especially, three-day weekends are a gift. It gives us time to wind down from work and life and other responsibilities, to really kind of get everything together that we need to get together, to kind of be in that space that we need. And then that Sunday, Monday, to gear back up to go back into the world and face whatever you need to do with a new set of tools. So these retreats give us that time. Our most recent one, again, was completely sold out. We had a waiting list of 5-6 women. There are women who signed up from this one in May who are coming to the one in November because, again, it's that for 24 hours, no one needs me. No one needs me. I don't need anything. So I think those are a really important part of our collective journey and healing and connection with ourselves, is that how we can be at peace, how we can find stillness, and how we can find connection with the other women that are sharing space with us, whether they're in that room on retreat or those women that we journey with and encounter and in our communities that we encounter after we leave the retreat. The other thing that we are focusing on is around the opportunity for funding spiritual directors. So for spiritual directors, as many will probably not be surprised to hear, is that there is a lack of spiritual directors, and particularly spiritual directors of color, most importantly, spiritual directors of color. So it's creating those opportunities through various organizations in spiritual formation programs through seminaries or interfaith programs that again, allow people from spiritual accompaniment to walk with and journey with people to walk them through that process of, again, whatever spiritual healing and journeying that they wish to take. Sometimes it's nice to have that person, whether similar to a doctor or counselor or therapist, that someone who is who's sitting across from you, who looks like you and understands your journey and your faith walk and faith journey, and can, again, be with you and walk beside you, who has some cultural context behind it. So those programs are quite expensive, and so the ability, which is something we've always been doing, since the beginning of time, whether we're sitting in villages, sitting in kitchens, sitting in laundry halls, we've been doing this work always together. But it's how to create those spaces. And if people say, oh, I want to dig some more into this, I want to expand my practice to go into spiritual work and spiritual care. And so the idea that we will be doing is providing educational grants and scholarships for women, especially for women of color, to go through and experience and participate in those training programs, whichever they might be. So, yep, those are just some of the two things that we are very excited about.
And by right, you should be. I really like that the silent retreats that you're doing. I am sure that those people, the women that are involved in that, are just like, oh my God, you know, they've added on years to their life in just that short break, you know, but to not have to be responsible for anything or anybody other than yourself is really priceless, you know. Priceless.
Yeah. And it's and some people ask, why silence? And, you know, I think there it's kind of multi-layered behind it. For one, particularly for us and for women of color and for people of color, the idea of silence is seen as, it has been used as a tool of punishment. I call it the weaponization of silence. Be quiet. Don't talk. Don't say anything. Mm-hmm. Sit down. Shut up. Whatever the case may be. But this is a gift. This is a gift that we are taking back. For anyone who's listening at home, I always encourage people to write down the letter silent. And see if you can find a word that uses the exact same letters, all the same letters in the word silent. I'll give everybody a second. So you write down the word silence. And after you write the word silence, I'd like you to, I'm inviting everyone to draw a circle around it.
I'm talking out loud, y'all. So yeah, I'm trying to do it too.
So, Aunt Sandy, did you find the word?
No. And I'm just coming up with all these words, but none of them I know is a no, I didn't.
So, the L-I-S-T-N.
Oh, my God.
The first time I was like, what? This is my book. So in So we in the word silent, we hear the word listen. So there's a in that silence. I say listen. The word coming to you in silence is uncomfortable, and I think of it in silence. Is think of that junk drawer that you have in your kitchen. Or if you're like me, the products that you have underneath your bathroom sink that you're like, I don't even know what this is, or that closet that you have in your house that I'll get to that at some point, that is just full of stuff. I had a junk drawer in my kitchen, and the junk drawer, which I call like sometimes that fear that for me, the silence, embracing silence has been a journey. I like to, again, equate it to cleaning out my junk drawer. I had everything in that drawer. I had lighters that I couldn't use anymore. I had menus from restaurants in cities that I no longer lived in. I had so much stuff or things that I didn't even know what were in there. I just didn't know what to do with them. We had to clean up. Company was coming over, so I just had to put stuff away. And it went into that drawer. There was so much stuff in that drawer that when I needed to find the key, when my best friend came to visit me and I had a key cut for her, and I couldn't find the key because it was in the drawer, and there was so much stuff in the drawer that I had to go through. It was like, I got to clean this out. And it was very similar for me, I would say, for me and for my journey. Silence, I would say that the silence was deafening. And learning how to understand that the minute I started to clean out the junk drawer in my kitchen was kind of like cleaning out the junk drawer of all this noise that was going on in my head. And so to really kind of factor it and start to move things out of the way, so that what I needed in the drawer was what were the tools that I needed to carry me on my journey and my walk, so I could stand a little bit taller, so I could be a little more comfortable in my skin as I was going into my late 20s, early 30s, and started building that armor and really kind of saying, who am I? Who is this Lauren woman? And I'm hearing, I'm seeing this, but do I really know myself? And it's an ongoing process and journey. I'm learning something different about myself every day. And really the past 3 years, I've had to learn new things about myself. But I think I am continually cleaning out the junk drawer of my own mind and my own thoughts, so that I can get to the substance and what I really need to journey with. And so I would say to the women, as I say to myself, is that this journey for silence is a gift. It's a tool, and it gives us a gift that has been given to us by God to journey together, to understand who we are on a deeper level, to draw closer in our faith walk, to draw closer in our connection with the universe, our connection with those who are walking with us on earth, and those who have gone on to watch with us from above. We need that silence to embrace that. And so that is our hope and our aim, our continuous aim with these retreats.
What do you find is your age group? Is it, women your age, women my age, a combination of everybody? Do you?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, we have, it's a combination of women in their 40s to mid-40s and older that are there. I'm finding a lot of the women who have come for the past couple of retreats or who are engaging in the work that we're doing are a lot of women who are at transition points in their life. So we just, on our recent retreat, we had two young women who were in college. We had women who, you know, a woman who had just gotten divorced. So again, those transitional points in their life, women who, you know, most recently in being on this year of lockdown, and, you know, over the past year was just like, I'm looking for something deeper and something is calling me, and I need to figure out what my life means in this new space. What's my journey in this new year and this new life?
Well, it's very powerful what you, what your organization has come up with to give people that approval, so to speak, you know, give them a nod. It's okay to not be actively involved in trying to figure anything out that's happening on the outside of them. I'm practicing or learning how to do that. And you're absolutely right, Lauren. It is not easy when you first want to get into that space of being quiet because everybody want to know what's wrong with you. You don't feel good.
Exactly.
You know, and so you really do have to be to yourself in order to actively participate in that silence, you know, or let people know that you're not speaking. It's a reason. And then afterwards, possibly, you know, address that. But that's really beautiful, and I loved how you made the analogy with the junk drawer, because as you were saying that, I was thinking about all the stuff that we have no idea what's in there. And so when you look at what you're thinking and some of the thoughts and emotions and just all the accumulated stuff from living however many years we've been on this planet, you know, and it's just there. And we never sit and try to weed any of that stuff out, try and throw it out like you're talking about cleaning out the junk drawer. And so that was so plain to me, and I love how you described that. Cleaning out the junk drawer.
And it was, you know, I'll say it's those things, and you see often we'll hear like, what's no longer serving me? What's no longer serving me? I need to let it go and move on past it. And yes, it's a wonderful thing to do. And it is a journey more often than not than we say it, but are we really practicing it? And I'll use my junk drawer as an example. So in my previous career, moved around a lot. Part of the job of a hospital administrator is you move kind of every 2-3 years, you move and go to a new assignment or a new facility. And so I had menus from restaurants in cities that I didn't even live in anymore. But again, when you move, and the movers come and move you, they just take everything in the drawer and they just dump it and they put it in the box. And when you move to another city, you pack up and move it
wow.
into another drawer. But it's no longer serving me. I couldn't, you know, order takeout when I live from, I now live in Delray Beach, Florida, and I couldn't pick up and call and say, oh, hey, I want to order food from the Indian restaurant in Fort Wayne, Indiana. There was no way, A, I was going to get there, B, you know, so it's why am I holding on to it? The money has gone out the bank account. The food has been well digested. and I don't even know that their restaurant is still open, but yet and still I'm hanging on to the menu.
But, you know, you can make that same analogy, that, you know, with so many emotional attachments we have to situations, you know, that person wronged me and I'm never going to forgive them, you know, my ex, whatever, I'll never love again, I'll never trust again, and all of that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that mental junk drawer can be quite overloaded, man. You know, because sometimes those drawers be so packed, you can't even get the drawer open. You got to, you know, you got to put something in it to mash the junk in to try and wiggle it out. Oh, man, what?
Yeah, right. You get to a point that you're like, oh, I can't even close this drawer. And then it becomes like, there's so much in here, I can't even, I don't even want to deal with it. So either just say, well, I'll find another place to put this stuff to when I need to deal with it, and I'll deal with it later, you know?
A second drunk. So that's just really, I love that, and I hope we haven't gotten too far off of the conversation, but I think this is so pivotal. And like you said, especially coming off of 2020 with the quarantine and all of that, that whatever it brought to whoever, because we all got something out of it that went into our junk drawer, you know, regardless if we're going to admit it or not, we all were affected by it and we all were touched and have something additional in that junk drawer. So, you know, just to have that visualization going forward, it may not even be conscious, but because you planted that seed, we're going to be aware of not putting anything else in the junk drawer, or, you know, trying to clean it out, or, you know, at least being least acknowledging that it exists. That's it. I love that one.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, we good.
Okay. No, I was just gonna say, and I think what's important, you know, what's important in this journey and in this organization is that, and one of the things I think that has been important for us, and I'm so grateful and thankful for the people who have advised us as we've developed, as we develop Be at Peace, and those who are currently on our board, is that the journey does not have to be the same for everyone. It isn't the same for everyone. And that's been the gift of all of this is that it is so deep to understand, is that how we honor one another in our journey in peace, and how we walk beside a person and meet you at the crossroads, meet you on your journey. And when you say, you know what, I need to be by myself for a little bit, I'm right here waiting for you. I use a lot of analogies. I'm waiting for you at the stop sign, and when you're ready to come back and you need me to journey with you, we'll pick back up where we are. But I'm here and I'm waiting for you. And I think that's the important piece about from a connection, is that for the women, say, who've gone on the retreats, there's I can think of a couple of women who went to the first one, they were at the second one, and have already signed up for the third one. And those women, we're together for 24 hours. We keep in touch over that time to kind of say, hey, how you doing? How are we checking in with one another? I'm good, but I need you to walk with me for a little bit, and so I can carry on, so I can stand a little bit taller on the next leg of my journey. And I think that's what we're really focused on, as well, being similar to the beast, Bees, they fly in, they rest, rest for a little bit, get fed, and journey on to whatever it is that they're doing or wherever they spend their life, whether it's in their family, work, community, and that's really the focus is to arm our women and to arm women of color, so whatever space that they're in and they occupy, that they feel a little bit stronger, they've had some time to rest and lay everything down and fill themselves back up.
Mm, that's powerful. Do you, how does your mother's mental capacity, how does that affect the activities or like this signature part of your program right here, the silent retreats? Do you think that that would have helped her in that nervous breakdown that she had if she did have a place to go and just kind of unwind for a moment?
Yeah, I do. We really believe that. My mom, I started going on silent retreats when I moved back to Atlanta, and she was always very intrigued by them. And I think a lot of it I hate to use the word fear. It wasn't fear. It was just something that was so unfamiliar to us and to us, the collect community. We don't talk about going on silent retreats. What is that? I got to go somewhere. I'm going to be quiet. Like, what is this? What are we doing? This is such a foreign concept in our, you know, for us and for our community. But she was always very fascinated by it and was always asking a lot of questions about it. And just, I think it would have been so powerful to help her on her journey to know again that that was an okay time for other women to say, we're just going to take, this is our time for us, which is also a generational thing to be able to speak of that. I'm really kind of really taking this time for myself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm really taking this time for myself, and this is kind of a new thing. I used to work at a high school, and so I love this is one of the tools that I learned from the students. Is they were like, I'm gonna do this because this is for myself. I'm just gonna do it for myself, and that's not something generationally that, you know, that my mom. And she was a baby boomer, and that's something that wasn't a very popular concept, I should say.
Exactly. Yeah. No, because we were so busy taking care of everybody, we didn't have that. We didn't take that time to take care of ourselves. But and maybe that's why this is sounding so juicy to me. You know, I'm loving the whole concept behind it. And it is a gift. And for those of us that have been raised in that baby boomer generation, it does take time to build up, to being silent and being comfortable, you know, for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, I haven't gone that long quite yet. I have periods in every day where I'm not talking, you know, where I'm just with me. So, it's important. It's important. So you say that your the foundation is the Ignatian spirituality. Am I pronouncing it right?
Ignatian. Yeah.
Can you explain that to us?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. So Ignatian spirituality was Saint Ignatius of Loyola. He was a very wealthy soldier and nobleman in Spain. And he had what you would call a cannonball moment. Well, he did. He was hit by a cannonball. He was in war and was hit by a cannonball and was injured. And when he was convalescing at the home, this was in the 1500s. There were two books that were available for him to read. One is The Journey of Saints, and one is The Life of Christ. So Ignatius' spirituality, while he was convalescing, he read these books, but then also really started thinking very deeply about his walk and his journey and where he was, where he had been. And he wrote what is the basis of Ignatian spirituality is called the Spiritual Exercises. The Spiritual Exercises draws on many, many different spiritual forms. So there's a little bit of Buddhism. There's a little bit of Islam. There is a little bit of Judaism. There is a little bit of all sorts of practices, so imaginative to prayer, walking in nature. I like to say Ignatian spirituality is spirituality for the everyday life. We all do it to in various forms, but his work, or what the Spiritual Exercises, again, is so many people who've experienced the Spiritual Exercises, who've done what they call the 19th annotation, or are done pieces and parts of it, they'll say, oh, yeah, I've done this before, or this looks very similar to my spiritual practice or something that I'm familiar with. But it really focuses on, he really focused on two things. One around discernment, that how do I think very deeply about the decisions and the movements of my life. And then also thinking about seeing God in all things, and that when we see God in all things, whether it's in nature, whether it's in the people that you meet, those who you know, those who you don't know, and we can be in active service to others by seeing God, seeing the God in them and in them and around them and all that they do. So that's what Ignatian spirituality is, to sum it up.
I love it. Yeah, I wasn't quite familiar with it, and I just wanted to make sure that we were all in alignment with what you meant by that. So thank you.
Yeah, and like I said, there are, you know, one of the things that around Ignatius spirituality, what I love about it is that, and what drew me to it is that it is just one of many tools that are available to all of us in our journey. So there's the use of the imaginative prayer, or being in nature, and so those things that I really like. I like to color outside the lines. So it's that piece that cracks open and say, oh, this is something different. We're just going to go on a walk and be in silence and hear the birds and the wind rustling, and where is God in all of this, and how is this supporting my walk? And that's different. That's different. And some people say, ooh, that's a little strange, but it's very peaceful. And it's not for everyone, mm-hmm. but for those there, but there, it's not, Ignatius spirituality is not for everyone. However, there is something for everyone in the whole boxer world of Ignatius spirituality.
So it's like a supplement to some of the mm-hmm. religious practices. Okay, yeah, I love
correct.
That.
Yeah.
Yep. I love it. Because I do, like, grounding is probably a part of that practice as well. And I know for me, you know, hugging a tree or walking barefooted in the sand, you know, at the ocean, or, you know, on soil, or even, you know, as I'm gardening and my fingers going into that soil, there's just something mm-hmm. very rejuvenating that happens to your body. You know, it's like your worries and problems just melt into the earth, you know. It takes it out of you. So, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. So tell us
a
little bit before we open up the lines. There may be some people that have some questions or comments for you. With your funding of spiritual directors, why is that important? And do you have major fundraising activities in order to meet your goals with that?
Yeah, so the average spiritual direction program or spiritual formation program in any spirituality walk is anywhere from $4,000 to $10,000. And so how do we make it accessible for someone who is doing it and wants to deepen their walk, that wants to build a practice for it, and go through that funding? That's what the idea of funding through grants and scholarships are about. So giving people, women, particularly women of color, giving them funding so that this is what I'm doing for myself. I like to say one of my mentors, when she retired, she was a professor at Agnes Scott. She retired and she wanted to continue on and become a spiritual director. And she told her husband, I'm doing this because I'm doing this for myself. And so women who are transitioning or are experiencing new directions in life who want to do this for themselves, this is their something for themselves, and may not have the money, may not be accessible for them, or may be a barrier for them to continue a certification or to take the courses. So our funding, so we're just now getting started. We're going to be doing a series of fundraising events to go into a pool. And so our funding, we're also working with some men's organizations to put, again, to kind of give the backing. I would like to tell our two men's organizations that we met with is that when you say I want to be here and I want to support our women and protect our women, this is how you can support. I need transformational support of us. This is what I need you to do. I need you to cut some checks, to give some space for these women to go through, to do these retreats and to go through direct spiritual direction programs for themselves so they can walk with their fellow sisters.
So when they're going through the spiritual directors program, is it a program that you guys have developed, or is it just to assist them in furthering their walk or their practice, their understanding, their education in their spiritual walk? Or is it a combination?
Yeah, so there's actually a couple of programs off the top of my head that people can go through. One is the Shalem Institute. It's a spiritual formation school outside of Washington, D.C. They're very actually in the Atlanta area. For people in the Atlanta area, there's the Columbia, there's a school in Decatur. They have a spiritual director program as well. There's some of the local colleges will have one. Emory Candler has one in Mobile, Alabama. There's Spring Hill. So there's some various colleges and universities. And also not only that, there's, again, some spiritual formation institutions from various religious denominations and spiritual walks and interfaith curriculums that people can go to. And so we are aligning We're partnering with four organizations that we're in the works, that we're in discussions with now, to create a formal partnership where we will be funding scholarships and grants for students that particularly are interested and focused on walking with and journeying with people, with women of color especially.
Okay. Is there a what do I want to call it? Is there an expectation once a person, do they have like to follow in this program for 2 years after they complete because they've gotten the grants or the scholarship from you? Is there some expectation attached to the funding also, or is it just they come, they apply for the funding, they do the work to know that they're in the community working with other women? Is that sufficient, or how does that work?
Yeah. So our commitment and understanding is that, again, we do the scholarships, and then after that, is people who will be recipients of our scholarships and grants are making a commitment and a pledge to continue to build their practice and do their journeying with women of color, to be in service for communities of color, whether it's men, whether it's women, whether it's young people.
Awesome. Okay. All right. You guys are just, you got it really well planned out, thought out, and you serve some areas, especially that mental and emotional piece that is sometimes left out of the equation, but your silent retreats are very healthy and very helpful for people. Just so that they can start practicing how to calm down, how to quiet down, how to steel themselves. And I can understand why people are repeatedly coming to the retreats. You know, that's really, really a beautiful thing to have. Yes, ma'am. And so you said that was Memorial Day, Labor Day, and Thanksgiving weekend, or should I?
Yeah, no. So Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day weekend, that Saturday to Sunday, the weekend after Thanksgiving, so Thanksgiving on that Thursday, and then Saturday, right. Saturday to Sunday, that's when the retreat is.
Oh, okay, I thought you gave us weekends.
So,
okay.
No, two times a year. Yeah, two times
okay.
a year.
Okay. Well, you see, I'm trying to egg you on, right?
Eventually we're adding, we are going to expand more, and we're also, in the next year, we're going to be doing a retreat, two retreats a year in D.C. and in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
We have on the horizon, we're in discussions with to create a program, to do a retreat program in New Orleans. Xavier University in Louisiana has a program. They have the Institute for Black Catholic Studies. You do not have to be Catholic to participate and to go through the program, go through their master's program, but they offer a series of courses that are very focused on cultural competency and walking with Black communities in spirituality. And so they are expanding and adding their focus on spiritual direction. And so our goal is to fund some grants and scholarships for people who will be taking courses with them in their program.
Oh, that's great. That is excellent. Well, I know we wish you the best in everything that you're doing. So, audience,
thank you.
We got about 20 minutes left. If you have any comments or questions, you want to find out how you can donate to Be at Peace, whatever you may have, now would be a good time for you to chime in. The number here is 516-531-9819. Just hit your 1 on your dial. Let us know you want to speak live on air with us. We're going to keep rolling in the process, but again, that's 516-531-9819 and hit 1 on your dial. So let's see. I know you talked about how devastating it was when your mom made her transition, I mean, just very suddenly after having that nervous breakdown. Do you see that as the work that you're doing is being able to offset that, I'm sure, is the reasons why you're doing it, and to also shed light on that mental health and how important that is when we're talking about this strong Black woman role that we all are aspiring to be, you know, like I could do it and I could do it all at the same time, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's, yeah, that's really detrimental to us, you know?
Yeah. There was an article I actually read in 2018 that before everything happened with her that said the title of the article, I'll never forget it, was Black women are drowning. We are drowning. And to your point, it is the strong Black woman that ideal, and it's not false. We do a lot. We do a lot, and a lot is expected of us in so many aspects. And at the same time, we are drowning.
Right.
And it is. Yeah, and it's that ability to help save us from ourselves. I also like to say is that what we do at sometimes operating at 20% of what we have left. If we're doing all that we can do at 20, 30, 50%, 60% capacity for what we really kind of 60% full, we were at 100% full and spilling over, how much more can we get done?
Right.
You know, and I say that in my own walk and in my own journey as well.
Right. But, you know, it's also a time for us now, so let me speak for myself. So for me, what I have learned during this last year of the shutdown and everybody, you know, is locked mm-hmm. away from one another, is that we really do ourselves to take that time. And I didn't put it in this concept that you have of the junk drawer, but I know we've got to take inventory of what we're allowing mm-hmm. to take up real estate in our heads, you know,
mm-hmm.
in our hearts,
mm-hmm.
and in everything that we're doing. Because when we don't do that, then we have the unhealthy mental state and we're stressing, you know, and
mm-hmm.
that stress that'll take you out, you know, quicker than a heart attack, you know. And so
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of things that we need to be considerate of and cognizant of as we're going forward. So it's not just about eating right and exercising and, you know, going to the doctor and going to the gym. It's all those facets, you know, all of
mm-hmm.
that together. But if we never slow down, if we never become still and
mm-hmm.
listen to what our bodies have to tell us, then we're not living at our capacity. So to the point that you were making, you know, yes, we can do more, but we can do it more efficiently too, you know, mm-hmm. versus being on reserve yeah. all the time. You know, let's be on full and doing the same thing, you know?
Yep. Yep. I think of her like a big sister, and have tremendous respect for her. And she said to me, you know, she was like, it all's going to get done. It's all going to get done. Like, meaning that go take a nap, like go to sleep, go take a nap. Everything is going to get mm-hmm. done. In the sense too that, you know, what I have found is I take her advice, and some days I'm better at it than others. Some things that really, that I was about to give, to your point, give my attention to, when I just sit down and take a nap, it either resolves itself or it becomes mm-hmm. an important matter that I know that no longer needs my attention. And I'm okay. I'm learning to be okay with that.
Good. So, Lauren, how do you approach the younger generation of young women? You know, you said you had a couple that's coming out of college or in college, coming out of high school, what have you. So how do you get this message to them so that they don't even put themselves in that strong woman syndrome, strong black woman syndrome?
Yeah. I have found with them, it's how can I walk with you and giving them bite-sized pieces. Giving them bite-sized pieces. They like most teenagers, it's not a generational thing. Most teenagers don't listen to anyone until you say, just keep on living. Keep on living, honey. Just keep on living. So I really kind of giving them bite-sized pieces that we are going to do this, whether it's 20 minutes, whether it's 30 minutes, whether it's, and we're just going to sit and we're just going to write down everything. And when we're ready to talk and share, we're going to talk and share.
Okay.
And so I think giving them those bite-sized pieces and really learning the art of active listening with them. So sitting and talking with them, and just kind of really just even just letting them talk and listen and just say, I'm here to listen. When you're ready for my advice, I'll give you my advice. If you don't want my advice, we're just going to sit here until you're ready to get up and leave.
Oh, see, that take a lot of strength right there. What?
Yes, exactly.
Because, you know, exactly. We all think we're supposed to help. You know, I'm the grandmother, or I'm the mother, or the auntie, or whatever, you know. And so, yeah, I think that's really important. And I think, too, what I'm getting at there is how to teach the youngest generation possible how not to adopt those habits of being the strong black woman that can take on everybody's stuff, but not take care of herself, you know, in the process. I would love to see that just fade away, you know, back off into nothingness during my lifetime, you know, like let's change that paradigm on that, you know? So,
yeah. Yeah, and I think I would love, and one of the areas that I want to journey in is on the horizon for us is around, to your point, around intergenerational work and conversations, to say that we are all doing this walk together. I can share my journey with you, my keep on living journey with you, or I can walk with you and just walk beside you and let you kind of learn for yourself some of the tough some of the tough lessons of life.
be with you when you fall and be with you in a very loving,
judgment free to say, kind of give you the yellow light when you're about to cross and say, I wouldn't speed up past this yellow light. Just caution you that maybe this isn't the best decision to do. But you know, again, as teenagers, doesn't matter the generation. Sometimes
that's
they
true.
Keep on living.
And sometimes we got some older people that are teenagers too. So
yes.
So we all just got to keep on living.
Yeah. There's definitely. I'm sure, Auntie Sandy. Sometimes you'll be saying to me like, "Oh dear Lord, my little niecey poo. What is she doing? It's all right."
But that's all a part of that strong black woman. You know, like I can take care of everybody's problem, including my own, you know. So sometimes we just have to close the mouth, you know, and allow other people to experience whatever it is that they've created in their life, you know. So,
yeah.
And that could be really hard for us because of our conditioning. So I want to ask you a couple of questions about what your forward path and what that looks like. I would like for you to take time and talk to the audience about how they can support you financially and what mediums do you have in place for people to make donations to your organization?
Yes. Our current website is being built, being activated with that. So in the meantime, our email address is beatpeace2017@gmail.com. Also, you can direct funds for now to Ignatius House of Atlanta. It's Ignatius House of Atlanta, and in the line for donations, put "Be at Peace," and that's how we are there holding our funds for now.
Spell Ignatius for us, please.
Yeah, sure. Ignatius, T-I-U-S, Ignatius House.
And is Atlanta spelled out?
Yes, ATLANTA. Mm-hmm. Ignatius House of Atlanta. In the subject line, donation line, you can put "Be at Peace." And that goes into a secure fund directly for 100% for funds for Be at Peace.
Excellent. And that's B-E-E, just like the bumblebee that be flying around, you guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Save the bees just like we have to save our black women.
Yes, indeed.
The bees just as important.
Exactly. You know, we're already talking about, I did an interview with a Native American man a few years ago, and I'll tell you the reverence they have for the bee and the importance of the bee to human life. It's really something to study. And so for you guys to have, gotten that the Hebrew meaning out of Deborah for your mom, that's so touching, you know. The brightness and the community and power, you know, what all of her name means. That very, very powerful.
Yes. As we have journeyed and built this, one of the things that we discovered as we get into this kind of digging into the bee and learning more about bees and about honey and the medicinal power of honey, is that bees, we were reading an article that said bees are both admired and feared. And again, those similarities as Black women and women of color is that we are admired for what we do, what we bring to communities, and then feared as well for what we do and what we bring to the community.
That's a good analogy right there. So what's in the future for Be at Peace or for Lauren?
So future for Be at Peace is our goal is that every woman is touched directly or indirectly by Be at Peace.
Oh, love it.
Directly or indirectly. Our goal is by 2026, in the next 5 years, is to have retreats at 10 places within 10 cities within the United States and 3 cities overseas.
Wow.
We got some work brewing up in England doing some work with some Black women over across the pond as our lovely friend who's been working with us and talking with us has said in his journey.
I love it.
If I may, I just want to share this one story. So we had finished our first retreat in November, and I got an email from a woman in England, in London, and she said, I was Googling and was looking for an organization that was focused on Black women that I could focus on silence and stillness and Be at Peace was the first search that came up on Google. And I chuckled to myself and I said, oh, wow, I'm so glad we talked or that you found us. We had just done our first retreat. We kind of had a page up, and it was through the universe and divine connection that she found us and we found her.
Oh, so that's beautiful.
There is a need, and our sisters need one another, even from across the pond, as I was saying, as she and I were joking about when we talk on the phone. My sister across the pond.
Yeah, I mean, that's beautiful. I've got a couple of them over there, too. So, you know, because we all are looking for the same thing. So location really has very little to do with it. But I am so proud of the work that you guys are doing. And your goals are very admirable. Every woman is touched directly or indirectly by Be at Peace. That's a very lofty goal. And I know that you guys can do it, just like the lady found you from across the pond. You know, you'll have that same experience with more and more individuals, you know, that are both here locally or domestically and internationally. So I know that you can do it. You have such an intriguing way of getting people to look at themselves and what they're doing. You know, that junk drawer is going to have me messed up for a while, man. I mean, but it's so cool, though, you know?
Yeah, and when you walk past, go in your kitchen or in your bathroom or wherever, you're like, oh, I really need to do that junk drawer.
I know, right? Because I had just said that I was going to clean out that cabinet under the sink in the bathroom. So when you said that, man, that just really tickled me. I'm like, yeah, she looking through the windows again. Oh, so we got about a couple of minutes, and I just want you guys, please, those that are listening, I want you to go to Lauren's website. It, like I said, that was just so cute. To be a multi-comma woman where everything behind the comma brings me joy. That is just, put a smile on my face. So is Lauren, L-A-U-R-E-N-E, which is her middle initial, and then Morton, Morton.com. And just check her out. Online and what she's doing. And so the organization website is still under construction.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we do have a page on my personal website for Be at Peace. We're about to unwind all of that, but yes, there is a personal page.
Oh, okay.
There is a page,
okay,
on my personal site for it. So yes.
Okay. Well, you want to take these last couple of minutes to close us out, give us any direction, whatever you would like for us to be left with. And again, I appreciate you and I thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us what you're doing and how well that you're doing it, and the tremendous impact that you're making on this female population. So I appreciate it very, very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having us. And for anyone who's listening, or for those who we are new friends in community, I love to give homework. So I'm going to give everyone homework, if I may.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. So your homework is that for the next week, you are going to take 10 minutes in silence. And you can do it in your car, in your driveway, on your way home, before, and you're going to sit in silence. But I want you, you're going to do two things. You have two homework assignments. One, or two lists in this assignment. One is to list out your perfect day from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. What would your perfect day look like? So that's the first thing. The second thing in your list, you have another list, is that you are to write a list of your favorite things. So many of you might remember the song, My Favorite Things, from The Sound of Music. So
Right. You
write your own list of your favorite things. So I'll give you an example around the specificity around your perfect day. So my natural wake-up time is 7:22 in the morning. So that degree of specificity. What time do I wake up in the morning? And what do I have for breakfast? What's my favorite? What's the thing that I would want if I woke up in the morning, what I would want to have for breakfast? And then my favorite thing on my favorite things list, the specificity of those things are, I love to get fresh flowers in my house. So specifically, I love peonies, our hyacinths. So I would have like fresh hyacinths in my house, or peonies. All the time. So those kind of, what would be your favorite, your perfect day and your favorite thing. And so 10 minutes before a week, give yourself 10 minutes to come up with that, with the list of those two things.
Awesome. Okay. I got it. to list out my perfect day. Yes.
Your perfect day and your favorite things.
Got it. All right.
Yep.
Well, I'm excited about my homework. I am. Well, thank you again, my beautiful niece. I appreciate you so much, and you just have lit up my world tonight and even gave me homework. I haven't had homework in a long time, so I'm good with it. Thank
well,
you
awesome.
So
hope,
much.
This is fun homework, and thank you so much for having us with you tonight.
Yes. Yes, thank you, baby. And I'll see you soon. And remember, everybody, it's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So we'll see you next week. Oh, next week is my birthday party. So y'all come on 9 o'clock next week. Have your dancing shoes on. We're going to party all night. All right. Love you guys. Stay safe. Good night.
Bye. Bye.